You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're going to talk about the death of Aaron Carter. Yes. You've been waiting for it. Not Aaron's death, but you've been waiting to talk about it. I've seen many, many comments because he infamously died in the bathtub, which begs for us to take a critical look at what happened to this guy. And of course, all the typical preamble stuff, right? Want to be sensitive. He's got a lot of fans out there and family members. You know, he was a dad recently, a brother, a son, all the things. So I don't want to be callous about this kind of stuff, but we got to talk about it. So we're going to talk about who Aaron Carter was, and some different ideas of how he may have died. What could have killed him? Kanye West? Still in the news cycles. Well, we're going to talk about his connections to this. We'll talk a little bit about some donuts. You know, there's donuts involved. That's what I'll say about it. And then the Illuminati and the occult symbolism behind the bathtub and all that stuff. So, who's Aaron Carter? Well, he was famous at the age of 9. I know virtually nothing of the guy. Never followed him. Actually, that's not necessarily true. About a year ago, he was on No Jumper Podcast. I listened to that episode out of morbid curiosity because he had got a bunch of strange face tattoos. And anyway, he was famous at the age of 9 in, I don't know, what, 1998 or something like that, 96. His brother, Nick Carter, had already been mega famous from the Backstreet Boys. So Aaron's career took off immediately. He started touring with Britney Spears. His first couple albums pushed some serious numbers. And then ever since then, he was doing a variety of, you know, B-lister type events, Dancing with the Stars and all that crap. Which, look, hey, man, I make fun of those shows and stuff, but, you know, pay me right. I'll do Dancing with the Stars. No shame in my game. So I'm not hating. But he had said on No Jumper, he actually got interviewed again on No Jumper, ironically, about a week ago before he died. He said something about how he had 7 albums, sold 75 million copies. I don't know that that's true. He broke Michael Jackson's record, he said. I don't know. To me, I don't really care. I'm not a huge fan. Obviously, I don't think that makes someone worthy of death. But anyway, you know who he is probably, so let's move on. Now, he died, and we're going to look at some theories about what may have happened. Look at the timing. This happened on the anniversary of the Astroworld concert tragedy. I previously did a show about the death of Takeoff and some of the occult symbolism behind that. And I mentioned how it's very close to the date of the Astroworld concert where Travis Scott was performing and all those kids died. This one, Aaron Carter's death, happened on the anniversary. Like, right on the money. Which, you know, timing and alignment of the stars and all that stuff is a very common, what do you call it, like evidence for Illuminati occult rituals and stuff like that, right? There's a reason they do rituals at the same time every year. When you get into synchromysticism and gematria and all that stuff, it holds a lot of weight in those realms, okay? So we're going to start with the first most likely reason he died, which is drugs. We're going to start rational and move our way out. Aaron Carter had a long history of drug abuse. He just got out of rehab in September. I'm recording this on, what day is it? Tuesday, November 8th. I just read that he was supposed to be at a drug rehab meeting the night he died, but he didn't show up or something. His sister overdosed and died in 2012. Like, fentanyl's a real thing, man. That's, like, really killing people like crazy. They're spiking the drugs, and I think that's a bigger conspiracy myself. But on No Jumper podcast, the one from just a week ago, he talked about being Cali sober, which means you just smoke weed, you don't do any other drugs. But then they joke about him drinking promethazine because he's holding a white foam cup. But he says it's just grape juice. So I don't know. I don't know if he was drinking lean or not. I actually assume he was the way he was talking on the show, on the interview. Adam later presses him during the interview, and Aaron Carter seems confused about what it is. And then he's like, no, it's grape. It's grape soda. Yeah. So maybe, right? Dangerous stuff, dangerous drugs. And that's all part of the agenda, right? They want you to say, oh, these guys are just drug addicts. They deserve it. They want you to be callous about it. When really the bigger system, if you want to get Charles Manson about it, the bigger question is, why are we creating people addicted to drugs? Why are celebrities who seemingly have it all overdosing on drugs constantly? TMZ reported that he had in his bedroom, there were prescription drugs and cans of empty compressed air, what do you call it, whippets or whatever. And the housekeeper said that his dog was freaking out, which makes me sad for the dog. She didn't know he was dead yet. She heard the dog freaking out in the bathroom. And I assume it's the one he had on No Jumper. It was this cute German Shepherd puppy that was trained to protect him. So the poor dog must be traumatized. Couldn't do his job. Couldn't be a good boy and save him. So that's like tragic, right? That's sad. And he had, let's see. This isn't necessarily in the realm of drugs, but his baby mama, Melanie Martin, they had a child named Prince, whose birthday was coming up soon. Almost 1 year old, Aaron's first kid. But on No Jumper, he talks about how he's had this tumultuous relationship with his BM and their new child, right? Now, on his last TikTok Live, she apparently had threatened him, according to TMZ. I'm going to read you from TMZ. Aaron Carter's friends, family, and even his fans believe the singer was in a dark place and desperately needed help, but clearly it was too late. In a video allegedly captured from a live stream the singer did in the days leading up to his death, Aaron reads a message he says is from his fiance Melanie, which states, quote, "You're going to die." The words clearly upset Aaron, though it's unclear what may have sparked the message. Did the girlfriend kill him? It's a real whodunit, right? What about Kanye West? Let's just get right into it. This is the interesting part of the story, right? He was on No Jumper talking real tough about Kanye West a week before he died, a couple days before he died. And he also, Aaron Carter's last tweet, he tweeted, and he wrote, "Yo, Kanye, let's talk man to man," which you could read as being aggressive. You could read it as remorse. Maybe he feels bad about the things he was saying about him on No Jumper, which I'll play the clips for you so you can hear what's up with it. But yeah, Aaron Carter basically calls him out and he insults Kanye a couple times. Take a listen.
"You know, Kanye, you stupid as fuck for doing that. Your beard looks fucking weird. There's a reason why Kim left you, because, like, come on, man, get it together. Like, chill. Like, I learned how to chill. I ain't being irate and crazy anymore. You know, I'm living my life."
You know what part of it stands out to me is, like, he's a control freak. He wants everything his way. He doesn't like taking disrespect, et cetera. He doesn't like big situations that cause him a lot of pain that are out of his control.
But it comes with it, right?
But I think that the situation with his mom, when his mom passed during the plastic surgery, I think that really, really impacted him, having, like, the worst thing happen to him as a result of something so trivial, you know? And then I think that in a lot of ways, his kids being taken away from him as a result of the divorce has had a similar effect on him. Where
Pete was doing was fucked up.
Well, it's a shitty situation, but
also,
can I say something? Okay, yeah.
What's his name?
Pete Davidson.
Davidson? Dude, your body, bro, I'm sorry, but you got a body of like a 30-year-old, 12-year-old boy.
What, just because he's tall and skinny? Like, you have like the same body. You're just shorter.
No, bro.
Do you think Yeezy's going to be all right? Do you feel like you're the new Yeezy?
I think I could potentially be. I do, winter wear. So, and then I just donated actually 40 outfits to the homeless. To keep them warm.
Kanye donated some White Lives Matter shirts to the homeless downtown.
That's stupid as fuck. Kanye, you're stupid fuck.
I was thinking
that's why your beard is growing the way it is, by the way, stupid ass.
He has a weird
broke
beard.
Boy. Fucking broke boy.
Broke seems like the one insult that you probably couldn't throw at him.
No. I think it's funny as fuck.
Although I think his finances are gonna be tested through this whole
thing. You know?
Do you think that
I'll do a song I would do a song with Kanye.
Yeah.
Just because he's controversial and he's got a great mind, but he just maybe I could sit him down and have an intellectual conversation with him how to turn your fucking stupid life around when you're being stupid like me.
Maybe you could like intellectually battle him on the track.
Oh, I would just and if we sat down together, you have no idea what that interview would be like.
That's what the culture needs, really.
And you can obviously check out the whole episode. The interview is pretty boring. Not as good as the one from a year ago. You can tell Adam22's checked out on this guy. But anyway, and then even towards the end, like right in the last maybe 10 minutes, he calls out Drake Bell for being a pedophile in response to allegations that Aaron Carter was actually texting an underager, which he denied. All right. So that kind of puts him in league with all of these claims about, you always hear, what's the guy from Linkin Park when he died? And Chris Cornell, they're like, oh, they were trying to expose pedophiles and they died. Which sometimes there's some truth to that, sometimes there's not. But he called out Drake Bell, who is a famous child actor. I don't know the whole story there. This is all stuff way below my generation, so I don't know who these people are really, okay? But he did say that during the show, so there's that. But Kanye, that's what I'm talking about. Kanye. Ye had recently tweeted, here's where things get dangerous. Ye had recently tweeted a text thread he had with his trainer, this celebrity trainer named Harley Pasternak. And Harley is Jewish, and he did not like Kanye's anti-Semitic statements he's been making. I'm going to read you from page 6. Following his anti-Semitic rants, West shared texts purportedly sent by Pasternak, who is Jewish, that began by offering to have a loving, open conversation with him based on fact. Pasternak also asked his former friend and client to refrain from cuss words or crazy stuff. Then here's where it gets dark, right? Quote, second option, I have you institutionalized again where they medicate the crap out of you and you go back to zombie land forever. Playdate with the kids just won't be the same. That's what the celebrity trainer allegedly said to Kanye. And Kanye said, this is how a Hollywood trainer speaks to a far more influential black celebrity when we get out of line. And the reason that they're talking about this is because Harley Pasternak apparently was the one that got Kanye institutionalized back in 2016, which we covered on this show when it happened. Kanye was performing in, I believe, L.A. at the St. Pablo concert, started ranting and raving about, you know, similar to what his rants were on Charlemagne. I don't remember him exactly. I believe it was something about Facebook and Google controlling us, which he's right. And, you know, I've talked about Kanye a lot. I go back and forth with the guy. I think he's onto something sometimes, but then he blows it. But he got institutionalized because this happened after they put Kim Kardashian in the bathtub, remember? In Paris. They put her in the bathtub and robbed her at this famous celebrity hotel that just happens to not have any security cameras. And I think that that was some Illuminati veiled threat. And Kanye kind of lost his mind because he was like, whoa, what the hell? You know? Now, and this is interesting because Nick Cannon, who's a guy who's also in the news because he's got, what, 11 kids now? And I think I talked about this on the last episode, how there's a theory, don't say the dirty word, there's a theory about him possibly having all these kids to harvest organs for his lupus. Hey, I didn't come up with it. I'm just telling you what I've heard. This is what the streets are saying. But Nick Cannon was on a show talking about the concept of buck breaking in slavery. Because Nick Cannon previously got in trouble for saying some anti-Semitic things as well. All right. And we're going to go deeper. Okay, so every month I do a show called Monthly Microdose where I go over the previous month's shows and address some ideas and comments that I read from social media and Patreon and stuff. And we're going to talk about this Kanye thing a little bit more because a lot of you got real upset with me. All right. I'm going to address it one more time. I'm going to rephrase it. Okay. I think I came off a little, maybe not as, I came off a little too harsh. I'll give you that. But we're going to talk about that on the monthly microdose show. Anyways, Nick Cannon had said some anti-Semitic stuff years ago. Remember they canceled him? Is cancel culture real? I don't know. I mean, Kanye certainly lost a lot of money, so there's something to it. But he was on a show recently talking about how, implying that this was a form of buck breaking, which was a concept, from what Nick says, where in the days of slavery, they would take one slave and sort of punish him in front of everyone else to show the other slave, to keep them in line. So he's implying like that's what we're watching with Kanye West and Kyrie Irving and all the things they're saying and how much money they're losing from it. And then you've got, and this was my chief complaint with Kanye was like, okay, I've read a lot of theories in the past. I know this theory before. I've heard it before. This is nothing new, this anti-Semitic theory. And, you know, it gets into the realm of the geopolitical stuff and it gets kind of quasi-racist, which is why it's always turned me off. I've always been like, I don't know about this, right? And anyway, Nick, where was I going with that? Harley Pasternak. Oh, yeah. So the idea is that Harley Pasternak, he's actually Jewish and Kanye actually called him out. Because my main complaint with Kanye was, okay, dude, like, that takes a nuts of steel to say that out loud like you did, but it's not helping your, build the theory a little bit, dude. Like, who's these people that are harassing you? And, hey, I'll be damned, you provided one right here. Which, again, I'm not saying, like, let's join the anti-Semitic bandwagon. I, you know, don't like what Kanye's saying. But I at least, this could point to why he feels that way. Now, why he wants to label a whole group of people according to what one of them did to him, like that seems very racist and bigoted to me, which is why I don't like it. But it's interesting that, I mean, that's cold-blooded what Harley said to him. Playdate with the kids just won't be the same. Dude, I think that it could be. That could be a real big problem. Him leaking this text message. I mean, think about the implications of what this means. This means this Harley guy felt so emboldened, like he could really pull it off. He didn't say it like threatening. Well, he said it threatening, but he didn't say it in the sense of like, ooh, I wish I could do this. He said, matter of fact, like, bro, I'm going to do this. You're going to the sunken place now. That's terrifying. All right. Now, let's talk about Harley Pasternak a little bit more because this is, you start tearing this apart and it's pretty wild. He worked with a bunch of celebrities, including Brittany Murphy. Thank you, Audrey, on the Instagram, told me about this. if you go, there's a review of the documentary What Happened to Brittany Murphy, and it says this. Harley Pasternak, a physical trainer, worked with the couple, talking about Brittany and her husband Simon Monjak, who both died in the house months apart for the same reason. Both young and seemingly kind of healthy. I don't know. Depends. If you look at their documentary, she's got 1,000 bottles of prescriptions on her nightstand, so who knows. While ample screen time is spent theorizing about the nature of Monjak and Murphy's relationship, was he too controlling? Were they deeply in love? It's Pasternak who clears away a lot of the speculation. Oh, isn't that convenient? Did Murphy seem like she wanted to be with Monjak? Quote, she seemed like she was high, so I don't know, Pasternak responds. Is this guy a handler? Is he there to float ideas and to control celebrities, and they call him a trainer? I mean, he looks like he's in okay shape. You know, I don't think he could hang at the CrossFit gym. I'll challenge him. But is this Pasternak guy a disinformation agent, a propaganda psyop agent? And if you recall, we did two shows on Brittany Murphy, last year? About how odd her death was and the weird connections to the Department of Homeland Security and stuff. Wow. Crazy stuff. Well, a video, my man Phil Goodrich, selling them UFO paintings like you see on my studio wall. Phil sent me this video from, I want to make sure I cite this person correctly, pressfortruth.ca. And Press for Truth, I didn't catch his name, darn it. Anyway, this guy claims that Wikipedia used to have a list of all the clients of Harley Pasternak. He shows like a screenshot on the video, right? And it's every celebrity, including Kanye, of course. But Wikipedia has since scrubbed it. Or someone scrubbed it from Wikipedia. That's how the system works. But he says that Harley's definitely into PSYOPs because he's connected to the Canadian military and MKUltra. Well, I'm going to play the clip, but he's going to talk about it. Then he's going to play his own clip of Harley talking about how he worked for the military and doing shady drugs and how they used, special ops stuff. I don't know. Take a listen.
Let's dig a little bit deeper. During his time at the University of Toronto, Pasternak served as a nutrition and exercise scientist at the Department of National Defense's Defense and Civil Institute for Environmental Medicine. The DND is the Department of the Government of Canada, which supports the Canadian Armed Forces. And the DRDC is a major military research station located at the former site of CFB, or the Canadian Forces Base. So what type of stuff do they research at the DRDC? Oh, just human technology interaction and the social and psychological factors that affect the resolution of conflict. You got human systems integration, human performance in stressful environments, simulation and modeling of the human in complex military systems, human issues in command and control, team performance and collaborative behavior, psychology of malicious intent, and social and cultural factors influencing behavior. This might as well be called Psychological Operations 101. And they even experiment with drugs for the purposes of control. And don't just take it from me. Hear it now from the horse's mouth, Harley Pasternak himself.
The area that I was interested in was how drugs and food affect muscular performance. And
when you say drugs, are that like performance enhancing drugs? Are they
all just kinds of drugs?
Oh, right. Okay.
So working for the military, I wasn't governed by the same laws that the typical person was. So I could look at the impact of certain drugs that are not everyday things. So we looked at a drug called modafinil, okay, which was for narcoleptics. So if you give a soldier this drug, how long could they stay awake for without having any health detriment?
is that used now as one of these brain drugs? I've heard the name before somewhere.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. Modafinil, it will keep you awake, but it's not a stimulant.
Really?
So if a special forces person has to stay awake for three nights waiting for the right opportunity to do whatever they have to do, we could give them modafinil and it would keep them alert. I did research on a drug called acetazolamide, which is for use at high altitude so you don't get altitude sickness.
Now here's where things get really wild. The Canadian Department of National Defense once included the Canadian Research Board, and it was these guys, along with the CIA, who literally funded Project MK Ultra.
Now ain't that something? And I confirmed that on a very reputable website called celebritiesbuzz.com. It says Harley was serving as a nutrition and exercise scientist at the Department of National Defense and Civil Institute for Environmental Medicine in the year 2005 to 2007 during his time at U of T. So, yeah, I don't know. Where there's smoke, sometimes there's fire. And what's interesting is that I combed through, I wanted to look at Harley's Instagram for, I don't know, do a little research, a little investigative research. And he has since this Kanye tweet, he has set his Instagram to private. Not good, right? What's he hiding? But I went over to his Facebook, the graveyard that is Facebook. And is anybody on there anymore? And in 2018, he posted a photo of a box of Voodoo donuts and a box of Danny Trejo donuts. And don't worry, I posted that image on Instagram just to, you know, wet the whistles of everybody. And a lot of people were like, no, don't tell me Danny Trejo is Illuminate Confirm. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know that Danny Trejo is Illuminate Confirm. I know nothing of that. He's been in a lot of legendary films. So it would make me sad. I would call him out, though. But it would make me sad. But no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Voodoo Donuts, all right? So it has now tied him into this really bizarre theory. He posted this in 2018, by the way. So when this was already a big to-do. So if you're new to this whole world of conspiracy theory talk, let's walk you through this. So there's a website, theringer.com. I'm going to read you from the approved sources, friends. quote, last week, iconic Portland bakery Voodoo Donut was the subject of a devastating rumor. Online conspiracy theorists allege that the bakery is at the center of a child sex trafficking ring. As internet-fueled rumors increasingly do, it all began with a YouTube video. Before diving in, it's important to note that this is a familiar story. In 2016, the internet watched in first confusion and then horror as a DC area pizza shop became the target of a rumor regarding child abuse. The unraveling of the so-called pizza conspiracies led one believer to bring a gun to the pizza shop in December 2016. Now, Voodoo Donut finds itself in an eerily similar position. The trendy donut shop opened in 2003 as a distinctly different sort of bakery. Instead of cutesy cakes with pink frosting and sprinkles, Voodoo has menu items like the cock and balls and the maple blazer blunt. Much of Voodoo's branding is dripping in double entendres. Its motto is, "The magic is in the hole." Its boxes bear the quip, "Good things come in pink boxes." Very risque. In a video published August 4th, which has since been removed, a man named Michael Whalen explained on the conspiracy YouTube channel Lift the Veil that he recently attended an event at Shannon's home where he witnessed partygoers abusing children. Whalen even threw in a connection to Comet Ping Pong, the pizza shop at the center of the pizza emails, saying some employees of the pizzeria were at the Voodoo Donut Party. I don't know what to think. Is it true? I don't know. Are they just selling donuts? Probably. But surely, I don't know. There's a political tinge. The article talks about how Voodoo Donut is, you know, they make friendly donuts of all the sort of liberal Democratic Party folks, which is one of the allegations thrown towards Comet Ping Pong, is that they're tied into a lot of Democratic Clinton type stuff. But that's, you know, it's an age-old tactic of geopolitics, look up, what's the one I always talk about? The Jakarta method. Anyway, that was interesting, though. So it's like, is that really happening here? I don't know. I don't know. And as you know, I am not a conservative guy. I'm a very liberal guy. I don't like the Democratic Party, though. That is definitely not an endorsement for them. I think they're a bunch of losers. And here's the thing, is the Democratic Party and the liberal news sources all seem to want to ignore some of these things, right? And that's what makes it shady because, you know, we talk about this child abuse stuff and Epstein, and a lot of people are real quiet about that on both sides. So is the Voodoo Donuts tied into that? I don't know. I wish I knew, right? I try not to say I know all the answers, especially with Kanye. Like, I gave him a lot of grief on that episode a couple weeks ago on the Drink Champs interview. Because my whole thing, and this is just like the Trump thing, my whole thing is if you're going to be the one who you're like, I'm going to expose all this child abuse stuff and I'm going to bring the perpetrators to justice, cool, let's hear it. Do it. And they never do. They always are talking in code and they never do anything. And it's like, okay, you guys are just shilling for your own ends still, which is even more disgusting, which is what I feel about a lot of the conservative Christian folks. Like, I'm a Christian. I love Christ. But don't use Christ's name to push political agendas and make a bunch of money. And it's like, dude, like, I think there's a bigger judgment for people that do that kind of stuff than almost anything. Because I just watched, what did I watch? A documentary on Hulu about, what's that dude's name? Jerry Falwell Jr. He had the pool boy stupping his wife. Oh my goodness. Which I'm actually okay with. I'm like, hey, whatever, man. Like, they're consenting adults. I actually don't care. Anyway. But it goes into a whole bunch of stuff. We're here to talk about Aaron Carter. All right, let's get back to it. All right, so he had this weird thing with Kanye. That was strange. But I think Kanye's messing around with some big dollars and some big issues here. So Aaron Carter throwing his hat in the ring a little bit, maybe, right? Let's talk about Illuminati, occult symbolism. Aaron Carter had previously said that Michael Jackson was... Aaron Carter says that his mother and like the FBI approached Aaron to try to get him to say that Michael Jackson abused him. And Aaron recalls and he's like, dude, I would never do that. I love Michael. Which makes me think, second guess, remember when I did a show 5 years ago on, what's it called? Leaving Neverland. I watched that documentary of them two guys who said Michael did all these horrific things. And I was like, bro, Michael did it. And now I'm questioning it. I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Michael was, you know, because remember Michael, he said some anti-Semitic stuff too. I think it was in the lyrics to one of his songs. I don't know what. All I know is every time I think I know something, I question it. So, but anyway, so that happened. Also, one time Aaron Carter said his family and Sony Records were conspiring to kill him. He said that on an Instagram Live. I'm going to read to you from aceshowbiz.com. It says, Aaron Carter is again waging war on his family after he slapped with a restraining order as requested by his brother Nick Carter and sister Angel Conrad. Over the weekend, the 31-year-old took to Instagram to make claims that his family and Sony Records conspire to kill him and describe an unsuccessful attempt to harm him. Also in 2017, he said on the show The Doctors, I'm going to read you from page 6, he said, his biggest fear was not being able to live as long as I can. That's my greatest fear. Why would a 30-year-old, I mean, at this time, he's probably 28. Why would he say these things? He was just a bubblegum pop star. Why would he feel all these things? he, more symbolism, he recently had a song on his most recent album, I believe, or on the unreleased album, Love 2, I think. There's a song called Demons, and if you look at the song artwork, it shows an all-seeing eye with a pyramid on it. Illuminate, confirm, right? Is he exposing them? Is he a part of them? I don't know, but it's on there. And the lyrics go a little something like this. There's a war in my head with my demons, trying to stay strong with some positive thinking. Evil's out to get me. Tell the devil, stay scheming. Stay scheming. I'm trying to roll with God, and I'm living by the scripture. They say the devil want my soul. I told him no deal. What is going on? Was he approached for the Faustian bargain? And see, this is what drives me nuts. A lot of these artists and celebrities that have all these claims and stuff, they like bring the receipts, take some photos, take the video. Help us help you. You know what I mean? That's what drives me mad. So it just leaves us out here to say, I don't know. That's what he's saying, though. The devil's after him. He's trying to roll with God. The devil wants a soul, and I told him no deal. And now he's dead. Let's talk about bathtubs real quick, because we've talked about this in the past. If you listen to my March 2020 show on Madonna and the Illuminati bath show, we went through this a little more in detail, okay? I'll give you the short version. But bathtubs and water are like portals. Windows, mirrors, like you see in Alice in Wonderland, they're all used to cross dimensions in terms of the paranormal and the occult. And, of course, many celebrities have died over the years in bathtubs, which makes it very strange. Whitney Houston, Bobby Christina, the Cranberry singer Dolores O'Riordan, Brittany Murphy. Well, she died next to the tub, right? She died next to it. Jim Morrison infamously died. You know, the Doors of Perception, Aldous Huxley. I know I'm talking fast here. And then now we've got Aaron Carter, you know. We've seen the bathtub in several pop culture moments, like when Kim Kardashian got robbed and thrown in the bathtub. We've seen it in films like Constantine and Inception, where the characters cross over through the bathtub. We've seen it in Britney Spears in her Every Time video. She's bleeding in the tub and she's wearing a Kabbalistic red string bracelet. You know, Madonna infamously introduced her to Kabbalah. Lady Gaga did a satanic prayer at the Louvre, where it had art of her being dead in a bathtub. I mean, the list goes on and on. I've been covering this for 10 years, 12 years now. And Britney Spears is also, you know, very close to all this too. She's been talking about how she was controlled and MK-altered and medicated and institutionalized, just like Harley said he was going to do to Kanye. Now, water in the realm of the occult, water, which is in the bathtub, it's all about nature worship, right? The element of water. The Egyptians called it Neter, meaning God, or Netert for the goddess. But the point is that nature is God. Nature creates life. You cannot have life without water. And in alchemy, the inverted triangle symbolizes water, representing the subconscious, the passive elements, intuition, emotion, as opposed to the masculine polarity, which is fire and the active consciousness. But you see this in Wicca and Kabbalah with the different rituals. The supreme invoking ritual of the pentagram puts an element in each corner of the pentagram, with water going in the top right corner. And in Wicca, they use the inverted triangle to symbolize water in the direction of west, because west symbolizes subconscious and femininity. Is that related to Kanye West? I don't know. Remember, he got famous because he was wearing tight pants and pink shirts. Remember that? We all made fun of him. But anyway, the water and the moon, they represent the goddess of the subconscious. And passing over in the water is considered related to that. In Kabbalah, the Jewish mystics participate in a mikvah, which is a bath for the purity of the soul. And they use it to rid the body of evil. And of course, they do a bit of fasting and they get in the tub. They remove all their jewelry, which is kind of, you know, Kim Kardashian. She got in the tub and they took her jewelry. Is this where Kanye got all this anti-Semitic beef from? Is he misinformed, right? Is he new to all this and he's like, you know, it's these Kabbalist Jewish mystics. And he's saying this anti-Semitic stuff and labeling a whole bunch of people, a whole group of people that have nothing to do with it? Maybe. But in Wicca, they do a cleansing ritual in the tub to prepare the subconscious mind for the ritual. All right. And a good case in point, you see this in the film Suicide Squad. The enchantress, she is in the bathtub. And above her, you see Aleister Crowley's universal hexagram. All right. She's mentally preparing for the magic. And the universal hexagram, of course, a reference to occult magic. Crowley created his religion where ritual magic is used to shape the universe according to their desires or will, and so on. Now, so there's the bathtub and the fact that he died in it. Typically, it's the goddess. It's the passage of the goddess. But if you look at it from the realm of the occult, it's the idea of preparing the subconscious mind or a cleansing ritual to cleanse the body of evil before passing over. I don't know that he was into all this stuff. He said he's trying to live for God. But then again, God is a, the broad term. Who's your God? Let's take a real quick look, real briefly, and then we're wrapping it up. MK Ultra. Because we can't not talk about MK Ultra. Britney's been talking about it. We say free Britney, and we finally found the truth that she was being medicated and institutionalized. Well, I don't know that it stops there. Clearly, Kanye is a victim to this. And back in 2017, I had a guest, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. Shout out Dr. Kim. I haven't talked to her in a long time. And we got into ideas of cloning, which sounds crazy, right? It sounds preposterous. It's the idea that people in their REM sleep are somehow converted over to cloning centers. And she breaks down how people get abducted into this technology and consciousness being stolen at night through frequency shifting entities. I mean, it's way beyond above my head. But anyway, the point being is that they use bathtubs, mirrors, and windows as portals to access us, these interdimensional entities of sorts. And, you know, they... that's like a bigger theory of the cloning centers and Donald Marshall's theories and all that stuff. So I don't know if he was involved in MKUltra stuff. I'm apt to believe that Kanye might be now that I've seen the Harley Pasternak text message. I mean, wow, that's incredible, right? But in conclusion, because I obviously don't know the answers here of what happened to Aaron Carter. In conclusion, there's some really weird, if you want to talk synchro mysticism, there's some really weird stuff happening right now with Kanye, Taylor Swift, Madonna, Takeoff, and Aaron Carter, all trending at the same time. They all hit on different elements that fit into the same big theory. And let's look back, and I've mentioned this before, but I got a little more information because I had to refresh my memory. Eurovision 2019. Madonna and Quavo performed a song together. And it had all this symbolism with... Twin Towers, Boaz, Yakin, Saturnian cubes, black and white duality. And the big picture was the destruction of the Christian faith. And she talks about how we're aware of their crimes and how we're getting ready to act. We're just not ready to act. she says that the wind is beginning to howl, okay? And the video on the Eurovision, it shows Madonna and Quavo on top of the steps above the inverted destroyed church, okay? We're going to put our Christian warrior hats on here, folks, all right? But it ends perfectly with the globalist desires of how they want this all to end up. All the people, the common sheeple folks, are sacrificially dying over the edge of this this staircase while Madonna and Quavo hold hands. They think they're joining the elite in this new world, and they post this large message that says, "Wake up." And they're standing on top of the pyramid of stairs between twin pillars. They're entering Boaz and Yakin, the mystical place. And we are not invited. As you should know, these elites do not want to invite us. They want to, it's like all that Great Reset talk, you know? They, rules for us, not for them. Let's take a look at the lyrics. It says, "Not everyone is coming to the future. Not everyone is learning from the past. Not everyone can come into the future. Not everyone that's here is gonna last. Open your mind, open your eyes." Your all-seeing eye, of course. "You've been putting too much time trying to survive. Don't like the person in your past, so you let them die." Talking about, that's the death of the ego. "Let your light shine. We can light up the dark. Everyone has a spark." And again, this is a Kabbalah idea, the soul, the spark of God. "It's the future where you got to pay the cost. It's the future where you come from being lost. It's the future crucifixion on a cross, but you know that I'm a rise above it all." Yeah. If you wanted to peg me down to, that's a bad choice of words, I shouldn't say that. If you wanted to force me to have an opinion on a theory of what happened to Aaron Carter, and again, I clearly don't know, I would vote number one, probably drugs. It's a common thing. But I also feel like that's very dismissive. That's what they want us to believe is like, oh, it's just drugs. Just move on with your day. Everything's fine. You just don't do drugs and you'll be good. That's what they want you to believe. So if I put on my conspiratorial mind, I think if Aaron Carter was trying to live for God, as he says here, and he's surrounded by these demons, these jackals who want his soul, maybe something bad happened. So there you go. That's all the stuff going on. That's all I know of Aaron Carter right now. And of course, if more breaks, it's worth having another show. We will do another one and we'll talk about it. But yeah, you know, rest in peace, Aaron Carter. It's a real shame. Thanks for listening to the show and stay subscribed to the show. We're going to do the monthly microdose. We're going to get back into a little, I'm going to talk to you about the shows we did in October, tell you what's coming up in November for future shows. I got a lot on deck here, including Elon Musk. I'm going to tease you with that. I'm going to do a show and Elon Musk might make an appearance. I don't know. So there you go. Thanks for listening. And also, I always got to plug. You know I got to plug things. You guys hate it. But this is a good one. I've now given you the opportunity to join the VIP section for 2 weeks for free. Don't even have to put a credit card in. Because I want to build trust for you, all right? So if you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab, scroll down, sign up for the free feed loser trial. That's you. That's you. I just kid. But you get 2 weeks for free, and you'll get the ad-free version of the show. This is going to be just like the normal VIP, because my thought is, once you try it out, you're going to say, okay, yeah, sign me up for tier one. No more ads, early access to every show, unlock over 150 bonus shows, and I add new ones constantly. You'll even get two books when you sign up for tier one, The Dark Path and Kubrick's Code. So it's plenty of stuff. You're going to love it. Check it out. IlluminatiWatcher.com. Hit the VIP tab. VIP tab. Link will be in the show notes. Try that 2-week free trial. All right. Thanks, everybody. Till next time, stay woke.